We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, welcome back here for the 7 o'clock hour. Lot of stuff going on to get to here this morning, including our poll. Now, you know, we've had a month now to kind of watch this back and forth. Ryan Fitzpatrick, Josh Rosen, again last night, same guys, no matter who you're playing with, you're running for your life with these offensive lines for the most part. So with one more week, one more preseason game on Thursday, and then it's Baltimore at Joe Rose Show, you can let us know, Ryan Fitzpatrick or Josh Rosen, who do you start? And there's a lot of articles and more articles out today on who all your favorite writers in both the Herald and the Sun Sentinel and the Palm Beach Post, who they like. So let us know. Where do you go?
I'm getting closer to Dave Hyde at this point.
No, I want to know who just because no
Josh
people,
Rosen. Well, Josh.
No, because they didn't know who Dave Hyde.
Well, Dave Hyde now for the last 2 weeks has been saying start Rosen, start
I know, but
Rosen.
Some of the people in the Herald didn't know that. Dave, they
read
only
articles.
Get the Herald.
No,
they
no,
don't
they leave
get.
His
they
they
get
read
that.
His articles,
they
yeah.
get both.
Yeah, get both.
All right.
Yeah, I'm gonna. I think I'm going. I think I'm really close to saying I just want to see Rosen start from game one on and see what happens. I know the first four games of the season are not easy. There's
yeah.
a lot of good teams there. I understand it. Then there's a bye week, so maybe you do Fitzpatrick for four. You go bye, and then you go Rosen. I think it's close. I mean, I know he's playing against twos.
But you're going Rosen.
I'm going Rosen.
All right, yeah. who are you going with?
What the hell is close about this thing?
Yeah. Who do you go with?
But the
it's
race
Rosen.
Is close.
It's not, there's no debate. You start Josh Rosen. First of all, he's better. And second of all, I mean, it's just not a debate. You throw him out there and see what he has. But he's played better.
All right.
He's gotten better
Hasn't
in the last
he?
Couple
I just
weeks.
Don't, I just don't see any debate in this whole situation here. Like, even if you're thinking of which one to start, then you start Rosen. Because he has upside. Ryan Fitzpatrick has zero upside.
Yeah. No. Listen, I think most people at Joe Rose Show on our poll today, I think Josh Rosen's going to be a big winner for this. He did get a lot better last night. Like, he took off the right time. You know, a lot of guys don't want to run and will run around, but before they get to the line of scrimmage, will throw it. Last night, he took off a couple of times, knew. And he's not the fastest guy, by the way, fastest quarterback in the league, but he ran. He got enough to get two first downs. So that was good to see. Like, if you break out and nothing's there, I'm going to run and get what I can. And then some of the throws. I mean, that was the throw so far, that throw to Isaiah Ford. That was his best throw that he's made in this camp or a preseason game. Just a beautiful throw, dropped it in, and had a couple of those. Had one to a tight end on a bootleg where he's getting hit in the mouth and dropped one in for an 8-yard gain, too. So, yeah, Josh Rosen took a big step. And you know what? I sensed last night that something got him a little more motivated. I'm just watching, and I'm like, man, he's not real happy with this stuff about Flores saying Ryan Fitzpatrick, the kid's got a ways to go. And it was like he played with a little something extra last night, no matter who it was. So, Josh made a nice jump last night.
Who would you start?
I saw Josh Rosen.
Okay.
Yeah. I would. I didn't know before last night, but considering, listen, everybody was running. And I will say this, Ryan Fitzpatrick was playing against that defensive line who they really struggled to block. I know we've talked about it. I don't want to sit here and turn this into the Josh Allen's first-round pick.
I almost should be at this
but
point.
But he got after it, and he got after Jesse Davis pretty good last night. There is no question about that. That was
that's tape that Jesse wants to burn.
Well, listen, Jesse, if he's going to play there, they're going to be a whole bunch of dudes, man. It's no longer just the great pass rusher on one side. A lot of teams, I know not us, but a lot of teams got two guys on the edge that you don't have to do a whole lot. Those guys can get there. And so he was something. All right, so the other story coming out last night, I was a little shocked. So I get the car and I turn on. I wanted to hear Troy Stafford, who I played with, and also not just Troy last night, but Young Greg doing the post game, and I think everybody was kind of blown away. Brian Flores did his normal press conference, but he got away from the football. I thought it was going to be all football stuff, and everybody wanted to know about Ryan and Josh and what he thought and see if Coach was going to say something right away. And there was something that's been on his mind with this Jay-Z, the songs, and Kenny Stills. He explained it last night.
You know, after the playlist was done, you know, I walked up to Kenny in front of the entire group and said, this is a challenge to you to get open, catch the football, and make plays for this team, regardless of what's going on outside of this building. The next day, because you know, there was a lot more attention paid to this than I ever would have imagined, I got up in front of the team and I told them, I support Kenny. I support, you know, the player protests. They're bringing attention to my story. I'm the son of immigrants. I'm black. I grew up poor. I grew up in New York during the stop and frisk era. So I've been stopped because I fit a description before. So everything that these guys protest, I've lived it. I've experienced it. Whether it's Kaepernick or Eric Reed or Kenny, I applaud those guys. I told Kenny that in our meeting in front of the entire team. What these guys protest about is important. I lived it, fellas. I experienced it. I don't know how many people have, but I lived it. So I understand why guys protest. And it's important. But you know what else is important to me? That guys performed it. Like, there's 89 guys in that locker room who are counting on Kenny to get open, catch the football, and perform for this team. That's important to me. And if anybody's got a problem with that, then we just got a problem. We're going to agree to disagree. And I feel like that's important, and that's where I stand on this thing. Whatever scrutiny or media, whatever I get, you know, then that's what I get. I believe, and that's it. The player approach, I lived it. I don't know how many people in here have, you know, but I lived it. So that's where I'm at on that. It was a challenge to Kenny to perform regardless of whatever's going on outside. And, you know, I've said this to him. He hasn't performed up to that level over the course of this training camp as I've seen him. So that was a challenge. I stand because I want to stand. I feel like it's important to stand. I do. I feel like it's important to stand. I don't know what you want me to say on this one. I think it's important to stand.
All right.
Interesting.
Pretty strong stuff from Coach Flores. And, hey, Kenny hasn't played well enough, to be honest. And I'm afraid he's been a little focused on this other stuff and taking heat and death threats and stuff that by putting himself out there and standing behind it, it's fine what he does, but you got to perform. You know, that's my job is to make sure you perform at a high level. And so he put it out there. He was both sides. Listen, I'm all for it. I've lived it probably a lot more than any of you guys had because I'm older than you are. And I grew up just as poor, if not poorer, than any other guy that's in this room right now. So it was a good message. I thought it was a good message for the whole team because I'm guessing a lot of the players were wondering,
why
the hell is that playing 8 or 9 Jay-Z songs? And everybody's looking over at Kenny like, man, did you guys what happened there? So
I think it's an interesting way to challenge a guy by kind of trolling him. Like, that's the only thing I look at. And interesting to me also that he's been around Belichick and guys like that, and he didn't think that this would make national news. He thought this would just be something in practice. Maybe the local writers write about it, and it would just go away and blow away in the wind. And it didn't. It blew up. It looked like he was trolling his player. I understand it now when he was challenging a guy, fine. But that's just a weird way to challenge a guy. Whether he lived it or not, and I believe every second and everything that he said last night on that, that's fine. But that's the way you challenge a guy?
Right away, for him not to know that you get in the middle of, I mean, you go through the whole line here, Jay-Z and a commissioner, to whether Jay-Z was selling out for the cause or when he mentioned the not kneeling, it's done, it's over, getting everybody fired up with that, Kenny getting involved with the owner, Stephen Ross, to think that all of a sudden anything with Jay-Z, who right now, I mean, he is hot. Jay-Z is, you know, a lot of people want to see it, how this is all going to play out between the billionaire club and getting involved in the halftime show with Super Bowl and what he has planned at the other end for what everybody is fighting for right now. I was a little surprised, like, Coach, man, you didn't know when you put all those songs out there and the media are all sitting out there and everybody knows Jay-Z's stuff. That's no surprise. He's a real popular guy to this day. So, yeah, that's a little bit of a surprise. But outside of that, I thought he did a real good job of putting out the fire, letting everybody know where he stood on everything. His team, Kenny, fans. And it said, if I open myself up for criticism, so be it. But this way it's going to be. You can believe in anything you want. You have that right, but don't let it affect your football. That's pretty much what I heard. You can do whatever you want, but Kenny, we need you to be the best receiver on this football team like you've been. And listen, no matter what you say, he's the best receiver on this team. And by the way, with all the other guys banged up, Kenny makes himself even more valuable with this group. I mean, you go through it. I know Channing has said the same thing, and I agree. Devontae Parker's injured now a couple weeks. Here we go again.
Same story.
Jakeem Grant just got a new contract, but he's been injured. Albert is really good, but he's been injured. I don't know when he's going to be back, and especially back to the guy he was last year where he was special before he hurt his hip. So you're talking about all these top guys were a big part of what you were doing in your big plays. It makes Kenny really valuable, and they need him. So if that's his way, he explained, listen, don't think Kenny hasn't been in on everything. I've communicated everything to Kenny. And so that was the message last night, and I think it kind of caught everybody by surprise when you're waiting to hear about, hey, your offensive line, what are you going to do? The quarterback situation, who stood out? What are you going to do? You know, did you like this and that? And last night, you know, was important for a lot of guys, either on special teams or offense and defense. And what are you going to have to go find out on the open market? I know we talked about, can you trade for somebody? What are you going to do with your veteran linebackers? Are all your veteran receivers safe at those positions? So I was really curious to see what he was going to say and how he was going to handle everything last night. And he threw us a little curveball, man. Little Kenny Stills, Jay-Z curveball.
Weren't ready for that.
On something that Everybody went, whoa, well, we're going to have to talk about all this stuff. Anyway, we got a big old show. You like a lot of football stuff here on a Football Friday. Well, damn it, we got it for you. Larry Bluestein's coming up, our South Florida High School football insider on a weekend. Could be the best first week of high school football we've had down here, including three national games on ESPN. It's crazy. One on ESPN, two on ESPNU. Matter of fact, St. Thomas Aquinas is out at De La Salle out in Northern California right now, getting ready for that one. And then we got a couple down here. Trask Powell's going to be real busy with some really good football. I don't know if anybody week in, week out has better football than Trask Powell.
There's
a lot of high schools that play there.
No, but that's the games that they put on just this weekend compared to any other weekend around the year around the country. I mean, come on.
That's that place.
This is Bluestein's dream this weekend.
Yeah, if you could have the all Trask Powell team, man. Well, first of all, I couldn't do it. I mean,
I told you we got to challenge
the
Blue
wrong
one time.
You have the all Trask Powell team out there, but
the names he'll throw out there are ridiculous.
Good teams. Anyway, yeah. we're gonna have Larry coming up here in just a couple minutes. He'll join us.
All right, we're going to jump out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. A ton of high school action this weekend down here, and top high school action this weekend. And there's only one person to talk to. When you're talking high school football down here, it is Larry Bluestein. Blue, Joe's been setting it up all morning. We got a pretty good weekend of high school football down here, huh? And it started last night.
Yeah, well, actually, it started Wednesday night, believe it or not. You just don't have enough stadiums to facilitate everybody. But, yeah, we started off.
Hold on a second. Henry Parrish just scored again. He's got 324 yards. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was – but we did start it off Wednesday, and Henry Parrish is still running all over the place. And I'm telling you guys, this is going to be one exciting weekend. Rain or no rain, we're in the national spotlight starting tonight with St. Thomas Aquinas in California against Concord De La Salle. Follows out with a doubleheader tomorrow at noon at Trask Powell. National televised. I mean, we're talking ESPN, not two or three or four, but ESPN, Miami Central hosting St. Francis of Maryland, two powerhouses, and then tomorrow afternoon, a local game which will turn out to be a national contest, Carroll City and Deerfield Beach. you couldn't think of a better weekend to start out, because I'll tell you what, we are showcasing talent, and like I said, it all started out Wednesday with Henry Parrish running for 324 yards, wow. And as you said, he's still scoring.
All right, hey, let me ask you, Cardinal Gibbons and Northwestern. Oh, by the way, both won state championships last year. Tonight at Traz, what's going to happen in this one? This is an interesting matchup that you don't think of, two teams that would play each other. A little Dade Broward. What's going to happen in this one, Blue? Who do you like?
This is like the third year in a row for Cardinal Gibbons. 2 years ago, they played Southridge. Last year, they played Miami Central. So, Coach DeBuck is showing that he's not going to skirt anybody. You go into it with two really good football teams, but you know how much talent Northwestern has. I mean, all of University of Miami Nation will be watching. They have four kids committed to the U, and three underclassmen. One will be a senior, and it's a great defense. It's going to come down to defense. Both defenses are really solid. I think that Northwestern returns more from last year. Cardinal Gibbons kind of like, and they weren't a real, real deep team coming back. But I think it's going to be an awesome game. The weather obviously is going to dictate it. Both teams run the ball very well. And it's going to be one of those games that's going to go back and forth. I think Northwestern has a little bit of the advantage because they have more kids returning. But don't count Cardinal Gibbons short. We found that out last year down the stretch. They win the state. And also Northwestern. Joe, you and I were beating Northwestern up to a pulp last year because they were 5-5. But guess what? They run the table and win
that's
the
crazy.
State. So good week, good game to start the weekend off
yeah,
with.
Man, they did it on the road too in the playoffs.
Yeah,
came back home and took care of it. Hey, St. Thomas Aquinas, who some have as the best team in the country, I still worry about the quarterback position a little bit. They're going out to play somebody that's really dominating California, as you mentioned, De La Salle, who, by the way, every kid within 2 hours in Northern California, that school goes there. I mean, you talk about either side of the bay. You're going, if you're playing football, there's a good chance you're going to that program. What's going to happen in that one tonight?
Well, St. Thomas went out there 2 days ago, so obviously they're acclimated, a little bit to the time. You know the difference. You've been out there billions of times. When you fly east to west, it's never easy either way, but certainly they're pumped up for the game. As you mentioned, they don't go in with a defined quarterback yet. I mean, they have a couple, but their defense is crazy good. We know what they can do. They can run the ball. They're big up front. And they're going up against a team, as you mentioned, that kind of vacuums all the marquee kids up from, the Bay Area all the time. And I think it's a great matchup. It's a national matchup where we needed to be in that focus. I mean, I think that South Florida's kind of gotten away from everybody, fondling all over us and saying, we're the best. So I think that returns tonight. Coach Harriet's got a really, really good team. Yeah, De La Salle's real good, but I think when it comes down to athletes, I think St. Thomas has a lot, not a lot more, but they do have more, and that's going to be interesting.
Larry Bluestein joining us here on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. I'm just going over the rest of the games. MacArthur, Shaman Amadonna, another game tonight, big game or no?
Big game, yeah. It's a neighborhood game. I mean, the two schools are separated by a half a mile. I mean, and certainly MacArthur can make a statement. They're 7A, which is St. Thomas's classification. They have an opportunity to do some really good things. They have a lot of great athletes on that team, and I think it's going to be a great game. Chaminade, and people don't understand, they're two-time defending state champion. They've been there 3 years in a row. They're looking for their fourth straight trip to the state, which I think they have a really good chance to do. You have a 7A team in MacArthur. You have a 3A team in Chaminade. Great game. If you're in that area, that's a neighborhood rivalry, believe it or not.
Wow. Hey, I wanted to ask you, we got some schools loaded with cores of wide receivers. And Deerfield Beach, I was talking to some guys at the game last night, said, Joe, Deerfield Beach might have more receivers than anybody across the board. They're going to play Carroll City on one of those ESPN games on Saturday.
Yeah.
What do you expect? How good can Deerfield Beach be?
Deerfield, they're a good football team. But let's not lose sight of the fact that Carroll City, it's their turf. their home field that they're playing on at Traz Powell tomorrow at 4, and that game comes up right after the Central game. I will tell you this. This is going to be a war. When they played a couple years ago, I think it was 6-0. Deerfield beat Carroll City 6-0. I don't, you know, as much as we want to talk about the wide receivers, I think this is a low-scoring game. You have two outstanding defenses, big-time players on both sides. That's going to be a great game. It's going to be one of those games that everybody is going to want to see. I know it's going to be kind of the hors d'oeuvre for the Miami-Florida game, too.
Hey, real quickly, speaking of good, this is where I like to get you. Who's got the best core receivers? I know Northwestern's loaded, and a lot of those kids are committed to UM. Who would you say of the whole – I know St. Thomas also got a nice batch of receivers. Who would you say he's got the best group right now?
I think Deerfield. Yeah, you know, you called it right. You know, with the addition of Restrepo, the University of Miami commitment as a slot kid, you know, with Gowdy, and, they definitely have. And they have two good quarterbacks, too, and Pratt and King, who have an opportunity to deliver the ball. But I just think the lines of scrimmage are going to be dictated in that game, and then certainly Carroll City's going to look to take away that passing game. But then again, you have Jalen Knighton and Jazz Patterson, who run the ball for Deerfield as well.
They have a balanced attack.
Carroll City's going to be up against it. This is going to, you know, new head coach of Carroll City, and certainly it's going to be something to see. And if you can't make it out there, you always could flip it on it at home and watch it. I think Carroll City is going to have their hands full with those receivers, but the line of scrimmage is where this one's going to be won.
It is weird to hear you and Joe both say, oh, if you can't make it out to the game, just put on ESPN because it'll be on that.
Yeah,
or ESPNU.
Like,
are we talking about the Canes Gators? Are you talking about Deerfield Beach and Carroll City?
Well, you know what? I think that the first game tomorrow pretty much showcases South Florida, where Miami Central goes up against the L.A. Rams. Because this team is – I mean, this St. Francis team, guys, I watched 7 films of them the last couple of – about a week or so. Oh, my. It's IMG. It's like IMG reincarnated. Wow. I mean, these guys are huge up front. They have 11 kids who are Division I type of guys on that team. But they're heading south, and the humidity tomorrow, you know, especially after good rains and stuff like that, may be the telltale, because it's a noon kickoff in South Florida where the humidity is going to be at 95%. Yeah. It's going to be about 104 in the index. And that's where that game is going to be won, because I will tell you, if you're not used to it, Joe, you know. I mean, you probably licked your chops as a Dolphin to have Buffalo come down here in September and in late, you know, in that time, because you always have that advantage. So I think that's the game that everybody needs nationally to tune into.
By the way, never play a team that says Academy behind it. That's I just feel like those kids aren't going to school. They're like getting their grades, and then they're going to lift weights and then studying like class 1 offensive game plan. Second period, defensive game
plan. That's it. All right, so you got math from 9 to 10, 10 to 11 working out, 11
media,
to 12 lunch.
Got media class to learn how to talk to the media. Yeah, man.
It's scary when you look at that. It's a little scary.
But you know what? Also tonight, you have really, really good matchups. You have Monsignor Pace, which is on the upswing against American Heritage. Everybody's trying to bury American Heritage, and Pat Surtain and the gang. I watched them last week against Chaminade. You know, they're waiting for them to disappear. They haven't disappeared. They're really talented. I think that's another game if you have an opportunity to go to, because that pits outstanding football talent. That with the number one defensive end in the country for 2022 at Monsignor Pace. So you have an extremely good talent, and that's what this is all about. And, you know, when we started, you were talking about Columbus. That's it took Columbus a little bit of time the other night to get going, but once they got going, they flexed some muscle. And I'll tell you a team that people better not sleep on.
Palmetto. I knew you were going to say Palmetto. My God, that defense. Where's that defense ranked for you,
It took Frank Gore Jr. to run a wildcat and throw the ball just up in the air for Palmetto to give up the first touchdown since last year. They had shut out last week. They shut out Western, as you and I talked about, Joe. And then in their spring jamboree, they shut out Rockledge and they shut out Palm Beach Lake. So that was the first score Palmetto had given up. It was some freaky wildcat that Frank Gore Jr. just threw up in the air, and it came down with it. But I'm telling you, don't sleep on Palmetto. Palmetto has a great schedule. And, oh, by the way, they play at Cardinal Gibbons next week.
Oh, boy, Cardinal Jeez. Gibbons loaded up. What happened to Coach up there? What the hell is he thinking about loading up all these games? Hey, I want to ask you, because Canes fans recruiting are going to want to know, who's the top couple of recruits, whether they've committed or not, right now in Dade and Broward? A couple of top guys that, whether they're five-star, you just look at them as either side of the football, it's a couple of the best players we have right now in South Florida.
I'll tell you right now, there's a kid at Miami Palmetto that a lot of people really haven't heard much about. It's only his second year. His name is Kentron Poirier. He's a wide receiver at 6'5". He's the first or second best basketball player in South Florida. This kid catches everything. Three more touchdown receptions last night. He has six against Western. He had two of them. He's a kid that's way under the radar. And obviously at St. Thomas, you have Marcus Roseme, who is a big-time guy. I believe Georgia right now may be in the lead. But those are two kids that everybody's watching. And then if you're a UM fan, you have to keep focus on tonight's game because you have four kids from Miami Northwestern that are committed, three underclassmen, Marcus Fleming, who's a wide receiver, who's a senior. Those are the type of kids that you want to watch in almost every game. And then tomorrow, if you can't make it out to Traz, both games, they have 25 Division I, higher Division I kids on all four rosters. So
25.
There's a good, some countries don't have that.
Yeah, some countries don't have that. Some states don't have that, right? I know that for sure.
God.
Exactly.
Hey,
and it's exciting. And you know what? The one thing, and as I was looking down, guys, at the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about marquee matchups. And that's the thing. Every week there's going to – because you know why, Joe, and you and I talked about this. If you want to be a nationally rated team like St. Thomas does, Central, you have to play those challenging schedules, and there's no let-up. I think Carroll City may play the best schedule in the country, and we'll see it every week.
All right, Blue. That's a hell of a teaser for the Open, man.
Wow.
I see you could have easily gone for another hour on this. And had everybody.
At least you know me, man.
Yeah.
You drop a dime and I'm ready to go. But
I will.
Guys, thanks so much.
I will see you at Traz Powell tomorrow. I'll see you out there at Traz Powell in the afternoon tomorrow. That'll be
fun. That's right. I will. So. Good stuff. I'll see you guys. Thanks so much.
All right. Larry Blues there, South Florida High School football insider, man, breaking it down. Nationally televised games and some
You cracked
really
the seal, man, and
he
would have went forever.
Oh, no. He could have.
Holy moly.
We had people screaming, can you get back to UM in Florida and the damn NFL, please?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And now, it's time for Hollywood's Headlines. Without further ado, here's Hollywood.
Bam, 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 bam. All right, Hollywood, what do you have for us today? By the way, how are we doing on our poll? We got our poll
we
up today.
Update
how are we doing
for
on
you
that?
As well?
It's pretty far skewed towards Josh Rosen.
All right.
89% of we had about 400 people so far weigh in on that thing. We just put it up a little while ago. At Joe Rose Show, who should be the starter for week one? Josh Rosen dominating right now, as he should be.
A lot of votes so far in that poll.
As he should be.
He's the no-brainer choice.
I agree.
You got a little Cody and Hyde in you today, man.
No All debate right. here.
All right.
All right. Let's start off our Friday headlines here with a little Mike Leach. You guys into that?
Yes.
All
always.
Right, so
I like
Mike
him.
Leach,
he's a little different bird, but I like
yeah,
him.
Yeah, this is weird, man. So he went on Twitter. He said, I can't figure out people that hate cats. How do people generate that much animosity towards cats? It's just a cat. How is it different than, say, a squirrel or a duck or a canary? So that's what he tweeted. It tweets like exactly the way he talks. So that's what
he tweeted. That's a weird thought. How does a guy getting ready to play a football season, where does that thought come from?
Well, God bless the reporters because they obviously follow him on Twitter, and they asked him a follow-up question to this at practice. Here's his answer.
Somebody, I can't remember, somebody said that in passing, you know, one of the, I hate cats, you know, somebody really hates cats. And I've never figured that one out. I've never figured, I mean, and a credit to Katz, the ability to generate that much animosity. You know? And I'm not sure how close of a relationship some of these people are planning to have with a cat, or why they would value the opinion of a cat, or their perceived opinion of a cat. I'm indifferent about cats, but I've never understood how a cat can accelerate that much animosity. I mean, to me, it's just a cat. It's just a squirrel. It's just a dove. It's just a robin. I mean, what do I care, you know? So, anyway.
His take. Mike Leach is a national treasure and needs to be secured at all times. There's got to be someone around him at all times.
Everything on his plate.
Oh.
He really took into consideration how people feel about the cat.
There's nothing wrong with keeping it loose, right?
No. That's why.
That's what he lives by.
That's why he's Mike Leach, man.
By the way, we can't talk about cats without playing this.
One of the biggest bloods I remember. Is my cat in here? No, I can swear I just
I don't
saw
think
a cat
so.
Run to the studio and touch you.
And you got problems, bro.
I remember. Yeah, no, I just saw problems. A cat. I don't know how that would be a problem. I just didn't see the cat.
What's his name?
I don't know. My cat's Nova. I didn't know if it was my cat or not. If I mispronounce my cat, I do apologize.
Oh, man. I'm hiring a kite. I apologize.
Whatever happened to him?
I honestly don't know.
When I ask you.
He's not. He's,
you know where everybody is and stuff.
He was working for CBS for a while, the Interactive, I believe.
How did he?
Then I think he moved away again.
Somebody told me he was driving in one day, and he got in. He's like, man, they're playing it again. Can a guy just be super high one day coming in?
Sure. Yeah,
maybe I took a little too much, whatever it was. To the point you drove your car up and hit somebody else when you parked.
Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, I was told. Yeah, I never had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I've had a lot of them through my years, and I never had that reaction.
No.
Start seeing make-believe cats running across
poor Alex.
Your table.
Jeez.
All right, guys, we go to Hard Knocks here for our next story, and some of the ratings have come out, and you will never guess what market has more than tripled the national average for Hard Knocks viewership.
Pittsburgh.
That's a very good guess by you. You might have seen Mike Florio's article on the situation, and AB retweeted it saying, my ex still thinks of me.
It's true.
Wow.
They want him in Pittsburgh to have a train wreck
right.
so badly that they can't stand. And I understand, man, your best player, your second best player on the whole team or wherever you want to rank him does that to you and forces his way out.
Right.
And you know it's all on him. No matter what, it's on him. You're going to be salty.
Right.
God. But you watch.
Yeah, of course they do. Everyone in Pittsburgh's watching that. They love to see this.
They were wishing he couldn't find a helmet and left, and they got to see him leaving, throwing a little temper tantrum like a little five-year-old in the first day of school. Like,
walking out, right. I wouldn't be surprised at all if someone in Pittsburgh found the three or four helmets around the country that he could use, bought them, and burned them.
By the way, the biggest fraud of everything has been Gruden. About
oh, God,
on the
right?
media, this is not a big deal. You guys are making a big deal. Really?
Right.
You think it's normal for your best player to take off and you don't know where he is? And the agent has to call you? Okay. Yeah. If you don't think it's a big deal, that's good.
I'm sure they love Drew hanging out at camp. Giving excuses the whole time why Antonio wasn't here or why it's not going to – like, I'm sure they love that. Yeah. Gruden just seems like that kind of a guy, right?
Drew is earning his money.
Oh,
man,
yes, he is.
With this fake act he's doing.
Last 18 months, he's earned fake. all the dollars from that.
Whatever
he's earned
it is.
It. Yes.
He needs to tell Antonio, hey, man, it's got to be 10%. What you've done to me, I got to have 10%.
Right.
What else you got there this morning?
All right, we keep it in the NFL. A New England Patriots safety, Patrick Chung, has been indicted for felony possession of cocaine. The cocaine was found on Saturday, June 25th, in a home belonging to Chung. This is kind of an interesting, kind of a complicated story here. It looks like the police were sent over to the house because someone tripped up the alarm.
Uh-oh.
And they were able to go into the house, and that's where they found the cocaine. So he's been indicted on this, which carries a prison sentence here, guys.
How much?
It could be 3.5 to 7 years in prison because it's still a Class B felony. So it's a worrisome charge they're saying here, but he doesn't have any prior offenses, so he could be able to negotiate something. But the NFL thing, that's another thing as well.
That's got suspension written all over. How much did he have? Did anybody say how much?
It was only a possession charge.
So it wasn't.
He didn't have like a kilo or something.
He didn't have like a lab in his house or anything.
An eight ball or something maybe. He should have moved to Mexico.
He didn't have a cartel kilo or something.
No, this right. wasn't like a Breaking Bad.
Recreational, like, almost.
Chipping
Mexico,
into
right?
that big rock.
Seems like you might have known a little bit about that. Yeah. Chipping into a big rock.
Oh, God.
Wow.
I have seen him, and it's impressive. It's a lot of damn cocaine.
I've seen enough cocaine cowboys. That's about it.
What else you got, Blue?
All right, gentlemen, if you find yourself in Dallas, you can visit the Aces of Dallas Gentlemen's Club, and they are running a promotion right now where you will get a free Popeye's chicken sandwich with entry.
Wow.
I am so glad you brought that up. Have you seen the lines at the Popeye's? Popeye's.
All over the place.
This chicken sandwich, literally, people were coming in, and I had three or four guys come up to me yesterday, tell me the location, the line, and how long the line was, in some cases, 50 to 100 people
right.
waiting in line to get that chicken sandwich at Popeye's. It's exploded, man.
It's the
Popeye's, you're on fire. Where's the owner of Popeye's?
Counting his dollars. That's what the owner of Popeye's doing right now.
Brilliant marketing, man. Yep. But it's got to be good, and apparently everybody that's avid said it is really a good chicken.
I've spoken to three
sandwich.
People, three separate people, including Omar yesterday, who went to one of them in Miami.
I was shocked Omar hates everything.
Right, right. Wasn't that weird?
Yeah, he hates everything food related.
No, whatever.
How good it was.
Well, with Omar, if you like it, then he's not going to like it. If you think it's a running back, he thinks it's an offensive lineman.
If you watch the video, like, Omar wanted to hate the sandwich. Like, it killed him that he liked it.
Told you, our boy the barber heard us the other morning. Heard us the other morning. Literally texted me and goes, I'm on my way because of what you guys are talking about. I'll text you back in 5 minutes. You showed me a picture of him holding it. 5 minutes later, all I got back, fire emojis. He goes, This is it, the new sandwich. Amazing.
Oh, that's
they've done a good job.
That's with Anthony's Coal Fired Pizza. That and I'm a bachelor this weekend.
You're going to be doing it all up.
I got to hit it. I got to get over to Popeye's.
Yeah, you should. You really should.
What else we got, Woody?
All right, gentlemen, our final story here takes us to Bears camp. And did you see the SI article about the kicking competition that they're having over there?
No.
This thing is absolutely ridiculous. They had 9 kickers come into camp, and the coach over there, Matt Nagy, has been bringing them into meetings and continuously showing them the Cody Parkey miss that ended their season last year. Said he brought in all these guys with all the rest of the rookies. He introduced himself and just continued to play these highlights.
This is embarrassing.
This is a nightmare for
it
the coach,
it cannot
right?
be that hard to find an – now, hey, you know what? We've had a disaster at a lot of positions, but kicker, a lot of it thanks to Riz, who, God bless him, he's not with us. He's now in New Orleans. He joined the dark side with Ireland with the Saints, but – he did a great job finding kickers. Look at all the kickers we've had that were good. And then you look at their situation.
It's unbelievable, right? This is a Super
Bowl
contender.
And Parkey was unbelievable down here with us. We wanted to keep him.
So, guys, it keeps going. All right, so he keeps playing the video throughout camp. He had 8 of the kickers relive the kick in front of the entire team. He had them line up for the same 43-yard kick that Parkey had missed. And the article, it says one of the kickers spoke anonymously talking about the confusing selection process as well as the negative energy they perceived as hanging over every single meeting.
That is crazy.
They have Nagy has nightmares about that kick.
Well,
that's why this is
he's
happening.
Trying to put mental pressure on the kickers and make the players aware of what's going on, and they know. And, dude, if you're going to kick for us, you better be mentally friggin' tough because we ain't losing any more friggin' games because of a kicker.
Matt Nagy, by the way, we were able to get his comments.
Oh, good.
On the situation.
Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack.
You're so childish, man.
I know, and I love it.
You happy are Friday,
so,
everyone.
Happy so Friday. Childish. We got to go to break. Got 8 o'clock hour coming up. Don Bailey Jr., Hurricanes Radio Network analyst, going to join us. We'll talk to him as get ready, man, for the Canes. Finally, they're going to be here, and we're going to take on the Gators.
There
and
we'll
see what happens.
Sure
not just Canes. They got to play somebody. It's
no, they're playing number 8 Gators.
The number 8 Gators.
By the way, come out to Twin Peaks Pembroke Pines on Saturday night. We're having a little watch party out there. You can win an Igloo cooler. We're going to have Dos Equis specials all night long. And you could register to win those Peach Bowl tickets. The semifinals in Atlanta.
That's a good trip.
You could register to win
trip.
Those tickets.
Close. That's a
Saturday
good trip.
Night. Come out to Twin Peaks and Pembroke Pines. It's going to be a really fun time out there on Saturday night. There'll be a lot of Canes out there. I'm sure Gators as well. Vic Bermudez says he's bringing a ton of the Canes. The
Stop
crazy
pumping
Canes.
Up Vic. Nobody cares about Vic.
He's the craziest Canes fan. Head. Oh, he's a big muscle head. Come out Saturday night, Twin Peaks in Pembroke Pines. Game starts at 7. We'll be there a little bit before, and, of course, we'll be there a little bit after also to enjoy everything at Twin Peaks. Saturday night, 7 o'clock, we'll be out there, QAM. Like I said, a lot of giveaways and stuff with the QAM Street Team.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.